Welcome back to 101.5 FM's podcast. Today we have a truly fascinating guest joining us, and that is Robert O'Brien, a tutor at U3A Caboolture who has spent almost 40 years inspiring people through education and art. Robert runs two very different but equally captivating classes, Neurographical Art and Drawing Actually That Rewires the Way You Think and Feel, and Mindful Grandparenting, a powerful toolkit for anyone raising or supporting neurodiverse children. Trust me, this is one conversation you do not want to miss. Robert, welcome to the show.
Rosemary, thank you. It is good to be here with you.
Now, Robert, tell us a little bit about your background, please.
Oh, I'm a teacher. I began as a primary school teacher and got the opportunity to become an art teacher and taught art for quite a number of years, and then got out of teaching and moved into doing my own artwork, which my family supported me doing, and we lived off my artwork for quite a number of years, moving around New South Wales. And then I studied again and got into neurodiverse education, supporting principals and teachers of schools who had children who had neurodiverse learning issues. And then I retired and became involved in U3A. I just wanted to continue supporting people, doing various classes. I love U3A. And that's when I developed the program of neurographic art.
And yes, that will lead us into this neurographic art. I'm absolutely amazed. Robert, tell us a bit about that.
Well, neurographic art was started by, it's not very old, it's only about 14 years old, where a Russian architect who became a psychologist and studied the brain, how the brain learns, and I've been doing a lot of work in how the brain learns for neurodiverse people. And he combined the three areas of psychology, art, and science. And neurographic art is just a simple act of taking a line for a walk, or taking multiple lines, drawing lines on a page without planning where they are going to go, a bit like how the neurons are in your brain.
How good is that? And I know I tend to doodle. Will we call it doodling?
Doodling's fine.
Yes, because when I'm particularly when I'm on a call, waiting, I doodle. Yes,
and all of those things help with anxiety, reducing anxiety and lowering stress levels, and that's what neurographic art is about. And where all of these neuro lines that you're drawing intersect, it's like a barrier. It's like something has happened to cause a blockage in your life. So the next thing that we need to do is round the corners. Where one line is crossing over another line, quite a bit of time is spent rounding the corners.
Okay.
And this repetitive action of rounding the corners of every intersection.
Okay. And what does that do, Robert?
It's creating new neuron connections.
Okay.
That you may not have had before. It slows down your breathing. It's a repetitive action. The act of holding a pen in your hand to make the marks on the page, the brain that the part of the brain that helps you hold the pen is using the 18 muscles that there are in your hand, connected to the 19 muscles in your arm. And while you're doing that, it is causing you to be more relaxed, and you can see people, their breathing has changed, their focus is on what it is that they're doing.
And
eventually you will see these little elements. Pavel Piskarov calls them elements within the drawing. They're all white. And then we begin to colour those elements. And I teach how you can use colours, the warm colours, the cool colours, and a bit of colour theory. And people are free to use. They often say, am I allowed to do something? Mm-hmm. They've got my permission to do whatever they want to do.
I was just going to say, who is this for? Well, you've almost explained that, Robert. It's for anyone, isn't it?
It is for anyone. In fact, they're using it in schools now.
Yes.
And for children in schools who have neurodiverse issues like autism or ADHD, they're finding that it's calming them down as well.
Yes, yes. How wonderful. The brain and the body, amazing, amazing thing.
Very true.
Robert, I know we could talk about this art for a long time, and you've brought into the studio with you some of the beautiful work that you have done and some of your class students have done. And it is quite beautiful. You see the beginning, then you see the colour coming into it, and it just comes alive, doesn't it?
And that's quite amazing, because the neurographic art process, Pavel Piskarov believes that there are 8 different stages of making this progress, of making the artwork, and the artwork isn't the end product. We're not focused on the end product. We're focused on the journey of moving from the first line that you made on the page right through to the other end.
Okay.
And it actually does something to your subconscious.
Okay.
It is pulling from the subconscious. That's where lots of memory is stored and lots of life events that have happened to you. I'll tell you the story of one person who came to my class last year, and she was on 2 crutches. And after a couple of weeks, she was on just using 2 walking sticks. And eventually she was just using 1 walking stick. And she told me her story, that she was in another country and walking with her husband on a pedestrian crossing. And a car came along and ran into both of them. And her husband was killed and she was seriously injured. So she'd had enough practice of being engaged in neurographic art that it spoke to her. Suddenly, in the middle of this class, I saw her weeping. And I just said, is everything okay? What's going on? And she looked up, and the eye contact that she had with me was like some depth of spiritual development while everybody else is just doing their, engaged in their own work. And she said, I forgive the driver. So something profoundly prophetic came out of that for her. So there's some of the stories you hear.
And that sort of proves, and one of my next questions was, you know, how many sessions do you need? Well, you've just basically told us that, haven't you, Robert? But can we just move on a little bit?
Yes.
Because we are fast running out of time, even though it's very interesting. What about this mindful grandparenting and partnering? Robert, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, my second class is mindful parenting for grandparenting, so the grandparents can understand where their grandchildren are coming from, the ones that have issues with learning, issues with behaviour, issues with relationships and so on. I think of Margaret Mead, who says the grandparents, she's an anthropologist, did a lot of study of families many years ago, but she said grandparents and grandchildren get on very well together.
Absolutely.
Because they share a common enemy. And that's very true. And the class that I've had, started that class this year, it's just finished last week, for the term, and I've found that the people, we have 2 goals, something I'm going to do differently in the future and something I'm not going to do differently in the future. For example, not telling my children how to rear their
exactly
their own child.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking there's a couple of little quotes here. Every child deserves a champion, and isn't that champion very likely a grandparent?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was evident during this class, that there were grandparents that felt that their own child was on their own and they had to support their own adult child as well as supporting their grandchild or grandchildren.
Yeah.
And the resources that I was able to share with them, they could take away and share with their own child,
mm-hmm.
There's a couple of them have gone off to get some support. They thought they were on their own, thought something was wrong with them, as well as because schools were contacting and talking about behaviour. And so I'm opening up that area of communication so that grandparents can encourage their children to seek support from, for example, a guidance counsellor at a school or the classroom teacher. Please let me know what my child is doing right instead of telling me all the time what they may be doing wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Opening up also the things that children with autism, for example, have to go through, where the characteristics of the way they have to communicate, of how their social interaction is, children who are neurodiverse, what safety areas need to be taken into account, what sensory areas with a lot of light or too much noise, what they're hearing, what they're seeing, what they're touching and so on. There's a lot of research out there.
Absolutely. And yes, there is.
And if grandparents are aware of that, they can, well, become aware of it, but I'm finding that they're beginning to study that particular area and use themselves physically. Instead of saying, "Oh, I don't think like that," one grandparent said to me the other day, "I physically took the step back so that I wouldn't be able to put my view on what needs to happen onto my grandchild or onto my child, who was the parent." So that is very positive stuff. I'm enjoying that, all those interactions, seeing these people. They're very alive and happy people, but they're gaining more confidence and more skills, and they're not alone.
No. Now, Robert, just to wrap this up a little bit, there is a link between the two classes, the creativity, mindfulness and connection. Give me that little bit of a link there.
Yes. I think mindfulness is becoming very popular in all areas. You'll find doctors and nurses are involved, teachers are involved in using mindfulness in a classroom and using the creative arts. There's new research out of Canada. Two teachers who became psychologists had to do some field work, and they had a year five class, I think, who had an assessment coming up, a test. And so they got half a class and they measured what anxiety was happening in their, you know, the things they put all over your head to measure what is happening.
Yep.
And half the class coloured in mandalas or created a drawing, and the other half actually studied for the test. And then they all went away and did the test. There was only 15 minutes of this work. And then they were tested again. The children who were involved in the creative part of it did better in the test and were less anxious than the ones who studied for the test who didn't do as well, and their anxiety levels were risen.
Yeah.
Had risen.
Okay. Robert, let's just wind up here. Now, you're at U3A, Caboolture.
That's
and
right.
What does that mean to you?
Oh, look.
Robert, you have given us so much to think about, from the fascinating world of neurographic art, where simply Picking up a pen can literally change the way your brain works, to the incredible importance message behind mindful grandparenting, reminding us that every child deserves a champion in their corner. And it's clear that after 40 years, your passion for people and learning is as strong as ever. If anything Robert has shared with us today has resonated with you, we'd love you to look at U3A Caboolture as the Caboolture at
or phone 0481 750 660. I'll say that number again.
Okay.
0481 757 660.
Robert O'Byrne, what an absolute pleasure it has been speaking with you this morning. I do thank you very much for coming in and sharing your absolute wonderful knowledge with me and our listeners. Thank you so much.
Rosemary, it's been a pleasure being here. Thank you.
Robert, you have given us so much to think about, from the fascinating world of neurographic art, where simply picking up a pen can literally change the way your brain works, to the incredibly important message behind mindful grandparenting, reminding us that every child deserves a champion in their corner. It's clear that after 40 years, your passion for people and learning is absolutely as strong as ever. If anything Robert has shared with us today has resonated with you, we'd love you to look at U3A Caboolture at caboolture3a.org.au to find out more about his classes. You can also explore the podcast right here from other Caboolture U3A tutors as well. Robert, you are truly an inspiration, and thank you so much again for being with us here on 101.5 FM.com.au.